Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer, and this is the Heartfelt episode, season 9. And back with me are some of the greatest co-hosts, all heartfelt, heart-filled people. They play from the heart, and they play very smart. Amber Lamage, our expert in aesthetics and holistic wellness. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And of course, the UFC champion himself, the head of performance over at the UFC Performance Institute, Las Vegas, is finest, and a dear friend of mine, Forrest Griffith. Welcome back to Office Hours.
Thank you.
And my best friend who changed his number and didn't tell me, Sean Dill, Dr. Sean Dill. What a pleasure it is. As always, speaker, author, entrepreneur, and probably one of the best coaches. He also, by the way, gave me a great honor, assisted in giving me an honorary doctorate, which helped me fulfill my mom's dream of me being a doctor, a lawyer, and a failure. Thank you so much, Sean, for helping me with one of the greatest moments of my life.
Thank you so much. Sherman College's finest down there, David Meltzer.
There we go. Speaking of the finest, this person fills a great part in my heart. I call her Obi-Wan Kenobi of the heart. She is the first chief heart officer ever at VaynerX. If you don't know Gary Vee, check him out. I'm sure you do. But he is very, very selective in who works with him, let alone at the C-level. She is now an author of an extraordinary book, Be Yourself at Work. Let's all give a huge round of applause for one of my dear friends, the incredible Claude Silver. Welcome, Claude.
Oh, so good to be back. Thank you so much. Great to see everyone.
You're living up to your name, the Obi-Wan Kenobi of the heart. When I looked and read the book, which came out yesterday, obviously this will be months from now coming out, but the clips are going to come out before then because we want to make sure the whole world is aware of this book, Be Yourself at Work. When I talked about Obi-Wan, it wasn't a coincidence that your book deals with Obi. And you are the one, Kenobi. Obi meaning the emotional optimism, emotional bravery, and emotional efficiency. That's where the Obi comes in, Obi-Wan. In the optimism, bravery, and efficiency, I was hoping you could tell me the emotional common denominator that may exist between those three.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the emotional common denominator for sure is just the idea that we don't want to become our feelings. Our feelings are data points. Our feelings are information for us. So the more we can identify our feelings and the faster we can identify our feelings and then put them aside, the more efficient we will be, the more easily it will be to take action, even when we might be a little scared, even when we might be a little hesitant. So the through line there is really making sure that you are present, and your feet are on the ground, and you're feeling like you can do this. You don't have to, just because you had an upsetting meeting doesn't mean you're an angry person. It means something in that meeting upset you and jarred you. Let's identify that. If you need to talk to a friend, talk to whomever about that, but then put it aside because that's not who you are. You are a person that lives with intention. You are a person that lives with a growth mindset and sees possibility in things. But to say anything else would be, you know, anti that. So that's the emotional through line, is really not hanging on to the emotions, but just using them as data points and then moving and grooving, you know, through positivity.
And it allows us to live within a world of I am, not the world of this is what I want people to think I am, to be yourself at work. And one of those people that are working hard at helping people be themselves at work and at home is Amber Lamage. Amber, what do you have for Claude?
You know, I love hearing your story. I have a personal similar journey. I'm a founder and holistic aesthetics expert and mentor. And I have a question for you. So how did you shift your mindset? Where did you start for someone that you know, in that experience that hasn't started?
Yeah. Well, I started to shift a long time ago, and that was when I was 19. I had taken myself out of university, going nowhere fast, bad boys, bad drugs, bad decisions. And I took myself on the longest.
That's when I wish I would have known.
Right?
I wish I would have known Claude back then.
I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either. What the heck? Where were we, baby? Come on. We could have some fun.
My favorite movie is Wedding Crashers. Like, I need to be in these behind the scene conversations. But anyway, that was the first time, and I talk about it really, I think on the first page of the book, first or second page, which is, I was so used to sabotaging myself that I said to my parents, I need to go the furthest away from Dodge I can possibly go. I found a 93-day wilderness leadership program. Literally, I was the only young woman, 9 young men. We all carried 80 pounds on our backs, no tents, no toilet paper. I think you get the idea. And the first day, we're climbing about 1,000 feet. It's snowing. We're in the Colorado Rockies, and I'm hating life, and I literally want to just break my leg, break my ankle. I can go home back to what I know and what I'm comfortable with, which is self-sabotage. And the instructor comes right down to me. I had a female instructor for those first 18 days. And she looks at me under the brim of this yellow, you know, rain slicker. She looks right at me and she says, "What's going on in your head?" And I said, "Well, I'm singing that Nine Inch Nails song, you know, head like a hole, black as your soul. I'd rather die than give you control." And she looks right at me and she says, "You better get another song in your head." And that was the first time ever that I understood, oh, only Claude can change this. Only I can change the song in my head. Oh, only I can change that yucky voice, whatnot. Of course, it took me many, many other lifetimes to really, really get it. I was 19. But that was an enormous awakening for me, because in that I learned that, oh yeah, why am I waiting for someone else to make me feel good? I can feel good if I just change my outlook. Right. And so I will say, it took me a couple more days to get into it, but 93 days later, I was 1,000% a changed human being in many, many ways. So that's really what I would say, is really understanding, like, I belong here. It's okay for me to take up space. Right. It's okay for me to fail. It's okay for me to fall. It's okay for me to get up again. Those are things I really needed to learn at a young age.
You know, Claude, when I sit here, I think how lucky I am to have this show, because I have so many extraordinary people in my life like you that I just don't always have the bandwidth or the time to learn more about your story and you. And every little chapter I learn and every phrase, all I have to say is, wow, it's so meaningful to give meaning. And so many, hopefully, young people will change their songs as well. Speaking of changing songs, we're trying to change the song that Forrest has been singing for a while here. He's my resident heartfelt killer, and he teaches other killers how to kill in the ring or the octagon.
I wonder what song is in his head.
Hey, right now. I heard the Nine Inch Nails. I was sold. That's a great song.
I'm a wild and I strut myself, and I'm so hungry.
That's great.
I'm high as a kite. I just might stop to check you out.
Let me go. Oh, shoot. Sorry for that. Brief aside there.
80s. Man, we're 80s kids here.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that story. That was awesome. How can I change my mindset without like 93 days of suffering? Is this like, you got like a 10-minute thing for me?
You can get present. You can get really still.
Damn, like feet on the ground, be where you are.
Feet on the ground. But you might want to work with someone. And what I mean by work with someone is have someone who's brave enough to say to you, right now, what are you telling yourself? What do you mean, what am I telling myself? You know, that voice in your head right now, what is it saying? Oh, it's saying that no one wants me on their team. Or it's saying I'm dumb.
Not me. I have a different voice. My voice honestly is saying this. No matter how bad I do at this, it doesn't really matter. It won't affect me.
It won't.
I have another question, really. And I'm going to read your book. Absolutely.
Me too.
I'm serious. I'm excited about it.
Meltzer wrote a wonderful testimonial endorsement on the back. So
I'm still going to read it anyway.
I wanted 3 pages.
Are you trying to talk me? She's trying to talk me out of reading it. Like, Dave loved it.
It took this guy 3 years to read my book, so take it as a compliment.
It's true. I did read it though. Eventually, I'm serious when I say this. Be yourself at work sounds like the worst advice I've ever heard for me. Yes. So I used to have a really cool job where I was the boss and I paid everybody. You know, I used to fight. You guys actually managed some fighters and everybody worked for me. It was great. I don't do that anymore. I have equals. I have people above me, below me. And I'm definitely not myself at work. My work friends, they don't know the real me. And I think it's probably for the best.
Oh, yeah. But why? Why are you like why? Are you goofy? Yeah. Are you goofy?
Yeah, I love it.
That's an understatement. Well, that's me at work too. I can't help that.
He's
that's
just goofy. Yeah. What part about you are you afraid of letting people
know?
I
don't want to be like, I don't think people should be themselves at work. I think you should be your work self at work. Like have that. Ooh, like I play a part. I play a role when I go to work.
Oh, I don't like that for us.
I have my first date self. You know, I don't choose my mouth open. I try to be a slightly.
That's a good point.
Better,
how do you deal with the cancel culture?
I'm trying to be a better version of myself, like not the real me. They don't need to know the real me. And I also find there's a lot of power in keeping details private. You know, like I don't tell people at work anything about my personal life. And I don't know. I don't like it when employees tell me about their personal life because I just want them to show up and do their job. I'm kind of a sociopath.
I hear you, but we're emotional creatures. We can't keep this in. We can't. The younger generations are just not going to tolerate it. And every single time we hold back or we hide ourselves, we're just putting more weight on our back. And then we get the Sunday scaries. And then we don't want to. And then we get cynical. And then we get toxic at work. And then we get bored. And then we leave. So why not have a culture that at least embraces it? I'm certainly not calling for everyone going Harry Caray, like showing all that.
Forrest Griffin.
There's a middle ground. I understand. You're telling me there's a middle ground. I got you.
There's a middle ground. Like I'm telling you what one part of my story in the book. I'm not telling you the whole entire 93 days.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But I know for me, and from being in the working world for a long time, managing people, that the more we keep a shield on and the more we keep a mask on, the more distance we create. And no one gets to know us. No one gets to collaborate with us. No one gets that genius that you are. And that's why I say, like, chuck all that fear and that insecurity into the back seat, slowly but surely.
Well, thank you. I'm seriously excited to read the book. Thank you very much.
You're awesome.
Awesome.
Dr. Sean Dill.
Claude, I also love the title of the book. And in my experience, you times 100 from what I have to do, but when you hire people, one thing that I've noticed is that right there is where it starts, right? People put their best face on. Kind of to your point, Forrest, it's like the first date. There's books on how to be interviewed. They know the interview questions. They know how to respond because they're trying to get a job. I want to go even though just a little bit deeper on that because I wonder, as I read that, be yourself, and I think about a Todd Herman line. I heard him speak one time, and you know, he wrote the book Alter Ego Effect, which basically says is that we are all a bunch of alter egos all the time. So to your point, we have an alter ego that goes to work. We have an alter ego that's a father or a mother. We have an alter ego on the basketball court or in the ring. Hopefully, Forrest doesn't show up as that alter ego in the workplace. At its heart, though, when you say be yourself, how do we discover who we truly are? Because maybe even to Forrest's question, like he doesn't want to show one alter ego at work. Which alter ego really are we? How do we know then, if you're encouraging us to show up as ourselves, who are we at our core?
Yeah, well, that's what you got to figure out. What is your uniqueness? Who are you? Like, what makes you tick? What's your triggers? What makes you super happy? These are things that we walk through in the book. They're super easy tools. But everyone in this world to know that they have every single right to go on a journey of self-awareness. Mm. I mean, that's a journey we're all going to be on forever. So I'm constantly iterating on who I am. I know who I am at my core. But I'm constantly, you know, now I'm a mom of two. Now I'm an author. Now I'm a this. Now I'm a that. I'm no longer a that. So really understanding, like, what are your values? Why do you think people want you on a team? Why do you even want to work at this place? Like asking yourself really thoughtful questions and answering them in a truthful way. And that's the clincher right there, right? Because we can outsmart our noggin. We all can. We can all tell lies when we know what's like what the real is. And so you got to be willing to take a step forward into who am I? Listen, I don't like feeling this way. What way is that? I don't like feeling crusty every day at work. All right, well, let's break it down. Why do you feel crusty? Well, because someone always interrupts me because I never get my ideas shared. Okay, well, you just got to break things down. And I really say, it all comes down to pointing thumbs at yourself, looking at yourself before you look at others and say, well, that guy's a jerk and that girl's a jerk. What's going on in here? That's the thing, because all of us start our day at what, 6 a.m., 7 a.m., and then we turn on the laptop at 9, and then you walk into the office at 9, and you have had a fight with your spouse, a dog got sick, you got engaged yesterday, you got a shit, you had a really, really bad workout this morning. And then I'm supposed to bottle all of that up and walk into a workplace? I'm going to freak out on someone if I don't understand my triggers, if I don't understand, like, my dog barfing on the floor really messed up my day, messed up my morning. So, you know, I'm being funny a little bit, but you have to take the time to understand you. And if you do that in a support group, with a therapist, with a coach, with your best friend, with a mirror, it doesn't matter, but you got to start somewhere.
Absolutely. If you want to learn to lead with hope and possibility, to have hard conversations with yourself in that mirror, with your mentor, coach, therapist, teacher, you can drive that clarity through compassion and focus, which my mentor and my dear friend, my heart, soul sister, Claude Silver, it is a must read for life as well for business. Be Yourself at Work. It is an amazing testament to aligning in appropriate ways who we are emotionally for optimism, for bravery, and efficiency. Claude Silver, thank you for pouring into our community again and again. I wish you could be here in person. When I'm in New York in November, I'm going to give you a real hug. But for now, this will have to do.
Love you, Dave. Thank you, everyone.
Amazing. Thank you. The Obi-Wan Kenobi of the heart, the chief heart officer of VaynerX, the amazing Claude Silver, joining us on Office Hours.